Today we're doing two things. I think we did that last time as well. So you'll be dealing with two packets, including the one you already had from last week. Only one of these two things you're doing is really new to any extent, and that's because we're doing a technique you haven't done before, which is called electrophoresis. Electrophoresis is a basic separation technique used in biology, or not just biology, but it's used in biology. There are several different kinds of separation techniques, like centrifugation, for instance, is separation technique, right? Distillation is. And chromatography also is. Electrophoresis separates things for different reasons compared to those others, though. Electrophoresis separates particles in a sample based on charge, electrical charge, based on size, and based on shape. And if you have a sample of that includes a collection of different kinds of particles, and none of them has any electrical charge, then look elsewhere, because electrophoresis won't separate anything unless at least some of those particles are charged. And that's the electro part of the word, electrophoresis. But the reason that charge is important is because the gel, which is the medium through which these particles travel, is subjected to a voltage or a potential. You have in an electrophoresis gel, which you'll be working with today, the gel can be made of different materials. Today's gel is made out of a polysaccharide called agarose, which is made by seaweed. And so it sets up just like gelatin pretty much, but it's not from animals, it's from algae. Anyway, in the electrophoresis gel, you have some number of wells, which are just shallow depressions. They're not holes all the way through the thickness of the gel, but they're a little depression, and that's where you deliver by micropipetting into the gel a sample in each well. That's more or less the starting line, because electrophoresis is kind of like a race. All the particles of different types start at the same place. You start the timer by starting the race, or at the beginning of the race, and they'll move if they are electrically charged, they will move. If they're not, they won't. But a charged particle will move because of the voltage that's applied from one end to the other of the gel. You do that by putting it into an electrophoresis chamber and then put a power supply on it. That's what that stuff back there is. But they all start at the same place, and they're going to move at different speeds, just like in a race, if they're charged, once again. But they move at different speeds based on their size and their shape. It's kind of like a swimming race, actually, because these particles are moving through this gel. It's just a hell of a lot thicker than water. If you try to walk through a swimming pool when it's up to your neck, you know it's how hard it is. Well, it's even harder to walk through jello. But what's forcing these particles through is the attraction between opposite electrical charges. All right. So if you have a negative charge at the top and a positive charge at the bottom of the gel, it's not top and bottom, it's really front and back, basically, on the actual chamber, then a negatively charged particle, if it's part of your sample, will be attracted to that positive end, and that's what's going to make it want to go to the other end of the gel. And if you have two negative or multiple negatively charged particles, they'll all be forced to the other end of the gel, but at different speeds based on their size and shape. Larger particles are going to have a harder time getting through that thick gel than smaller particles will. So in a given amount of time, the smaller particle, which is this hand, is going to travel farther because it's going to go faster, leaving behind a larger particle. And if you have two negatively charged particles that are the same size but different shapes, the more compact shape will get through faster, right? Just like walking through a pool with your arms out is going to be harder than if you keep them by you. Okay, so if you have a sample that is a collection of particles that you really don't know the charges of, in other words, they could be positive or negative or no charge at all, then you wouldn't have a gel like I just drew, which has this gel has wells all at one end. Instead, you would use a gel with wells in the middle of the length. Because when you put your samples in there and you have the voltage applied, the negative particles are going to move toward one end and the positively charged particles are going to move toward the other end. If you put them in this gel and you had positive particles in there, they would just immediately drop off this short end because they're going to go this way toward the negative pole. Well, we're not doing that. We're using a gel like the first one I drew, and that's because our samples, we know, are DNA, and all DNA, no matter where you get it from, is negatively charged. Why is all DNA negatively charged? Yes, because every nucleotide, which is the building blocks of DNA, is negatively charged because of the phosphate it contains. So no matter how big the DNA, how long it is, how many nucleotides it's made up, in other words, or where you get it from, which organism, it's going to be negatively charged. It's never going to be positively charged. So we want to start a gel with the wells at one end since they're all going to travel in the same direction. But importantly, you wouldn't want to put this gel backwards in the chamber. If you had the positive charge up here and the negative charge down here, all of your DNA is going to go right off the edge at the top. So you have to be careful when you load the machine, which is an electrophoresis chamber. That's what those plastic things back there are. All right, any questions about the essence of electrophoresis? Well, the reason we're doing this with the DNA samples that you prepared last week is so that you can actually sex the owl from which your chosen samples came. Or the two owls. You chose two owls. Alright, so you do that. I mean, the reason we can do that with electrophoresis is because birds use, as a sex determination mechanism, we'll be talking about this in the lecture fairly soon. They use kind of the opposite of what we mammals use. We mammals have an XY system so that the females are XX, two X chromosomes, and the male is X, one X and one Y. In birds, it's ZW, but the females have a Z and a W, and the males have two Zs. The DNA that you subjected to PCR last week to amplify it was not the entire genome of the owl. You amplified a specific piece of DNA from the sex chromosomes, either the Z or the W, or Z's, two Z's or a Z and a W. And what makes electrophoresis work is that that piece of DNA that comes from a W is a little smaller than the piece of DNA that comes from the Z. And therefore, if you're a female bird and they have a Z piece and a W piece, they will be different sizes and they'll move at different speeds, and therefore you'll be able to separate them by electrophoresis. If it's a male, you'll have two pieces, two kinds that are the same exact size because they have two Z chromosomes. and therefore they'll move at exactly the same speed, and you won't separate them. When you visualize the results of an electrophoresis gel, you see what are called bands. Each well corresponds to a lane, like a swimming lane. And a band represents the molecules that are the particles that can be separated. A band is not a single piece of DNA. That would be too small to see with the naked eye. I mean, it would go through the electrophoresis gel. You just wouldn't see it at all. That's why you used PCR. So you have many, many millions of copies, all of which travel at exactly the same speed, but there's enough of them there that you'll see it as a visible band. All right? But you'll have millions of copies in a male, all moving at the same speed and resulting in one band. You'll have millions of copies in a female that are of two types, and so they'll band out as two bands. That's the essence. Okay, now, as far as doing this is concerned, you simply need to follow the instructions for adding loading dye to your sample and then loading your samples into the well back there. But it's good to do a couple practice pipettings first before you put your real sample in, which is why you have practice gels sitting out in your petri dishes. These are not going to be put into the chamber, but they have the same sort of wells in them. And so don't use LD, the orange stuff. That's the real stuff. Don't use that until you're ready with your real sample to put into the real machine. For your practice, just use the purple food coloring. All right, and don't spend forever on this. You don't have to be a master of it. Just get the feel for getting your sample in the well without hopefully spreading it out onto the surface of the gel. Okay, that requires steady hands, so whoever is the least shaky of your group should do it. But when you put your pipette tip on and draw your sample up, put your tip into the well, so don't keep it above the surface and try to squirt it in. Put your tip into the well, but not so far that you actually stab into the gel at the bottom of the well. All right? And then, well, we're assuming you have your pipette set up correctly for the right volume. But anyway, deliver it like you do normally. Push it all the way down to deliver it, but then resist the temptation to remove your thumb or you'll suck it right back up. Push it out, get your pipette tip out, and then let go, and it'll stay in the well. So do a few of those with your practice, but as soon as you feel you're ready, then, and I haven't gotten the wells out yet, but I mean the gels out yet, but I will. We're going to use two gels. This will be gel one. This will be gel two. We won't use that other chamber. But you need it. There will be more wells than what I drew up there, but number them mentally as starting with one at the top left edge. Okay? So each one will, gel one will have lanes one through whatever, gel two will have lanes one through whatever. Write down which ones you put them in, your samples, so that we can, when we look at them, you can tell which ones are yours. But don't practice forever. Just do a few and then get these done. And then as soon as you're done with that, don't worry about anything else in that packet. Just use it for the instructions for how to get your sample ready. As soon as you have them in here, then go to the other packet and do the DNA transcription. Gene expression, which includes more than just transcription. All right. Now that should be, at this point, old hat. It should just be a review at this point. You just got tested on that stuff, right? But anyway, go to the gene expression one as soon as you're done with the gels.